Wonderful to see everybody out this evening. Always great privilege to be able to gather together, study, to worship with one another. If you want to open your Bibles, I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 4 and chapter 5 this evening. 1 Peter chapter 4 and chapter 5. I don't know how many have decided to keep up with what I put out at the beginning of the year, but beginning of the year, I put out a reading schedule to read throughout the New Testament in the entire year, reading one chapter Monday through Friday, and then having Saturday and Sunday as either days to catch up if you got behind or to reflect upon the things that you have been reading throughout the week. And this past week, we went through these two chapters and the rest of 2 Peter, I wanted to talk about chapter 4 and chapter 5 tonight. Just go forth, and I'm going to go ahead and read through the chapters and make comments as we go through it. And as I looked at these two chapters, a lot of suffering as a Christian. So that is the title of the lesson this evening. It is suffering as a Christian. And so I think we can see that is the main thing I wanted to point out is that we have to remember that it is to be expected as you live your life on this earth, as you choose to follow Christ. And I know there are many other verses, and we often point to them. We often go to those verses. We go to the Lord warning us, telling us that we'll be hated because they hated Him first. And we can go to James also. But I'm going to stay right here in 1 Peter 4 and 5 as we go through this evening. And so, of course, I'll just start with chapter 4. Going forth and reading here, and in chapter 4, if you read with me, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime and doing the will of the Gentiles when we walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." And so as we go forth through here and read through these first few verses of chapter 4, it starts right off. It starts off telling us in verse 1, since Christ suffered. Jesus, again, is the example that we as followers of Christ will follow in suffering as He did. And if we are following in the footsteps of Christ, and we're doing as He would do, asking those questions throughout our day, asking those questions throughout our life, what would Jesus do? How would He react? Would He go forth and do these things? Would He go forth and act this way? And we see the way He lived His life and the consequences to that is that He went through suffering. In verse 1, it brings out there putting to death the flesh, basically, is what it's saying. Because we suffer in flesh. We suffer physically upon this earth. As Jesus suffered for us in the flesh, you yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So telling us that if you have truly chosen to follow Christ, you've put off sin. And as you continue to read through what we've already just read there, that people are going to consider you different and weird and strange because you do not participate in the things that they do, because you don't dress in modestly as they do, because you don't go forth and go around swearing and cursing or vote the same way. And so therefore they think it's strange of you. And you might suffer because of
So as we look at verse 4, as we've already read also, verse 4, they are bringing out that they will speak of you. Because they think it's strange. They think that it's weird that you don't do these things. And because you don't participate and you don't get caught and get involved with the drunkenness and the cursing and the swearing and the filthy talk or getting caught up in sexual immoral life upon this earth, they think it's strange, and so they'll speak behind your back. And they may say things straight to your face. They may post things on social media about you. As a Christian, we will suffer. As a Christian, we will suffer as we continue in our lives upon earth. We have to understand that. Time and again, we are warned of this. Pick up with me in verse 7. It says, "But is that the hand, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as a good steward, the manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so as we read through these verses here, it doesn't talk a lot about suffering. It talks about the lifestyle that you've chosen to live, that you are choosing to follow Christ here, that you've put off these things, and therefore you've put on the other. You've put on love, and you continue to walk without sin. You are hospitable to one another. And when you are asked questions, you about what the answer should be according to the Word of God. Do you think homosexuality is okay? Do you think transgenderness and changing your genders is okay? Do we think abortion is okay? What do you think about who you should vote for? And we would say, well, let's look to the Word of God. Let's see what the Bible would have to say about the situation. And so because the way we choose to live, again, as we continue in the remaining of this chapter, in the next chapter, we will suffer persecution. So if you read with me, pick up in verse 12. In verse 12, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matter." I'll pick up in verse 16 here in just a minute. But as we look and you continue to read through there, you read those verses that we just got, you know, as we go forth and we speak the oracles of God, then he says, don't consider it, you know, strange. Don't think, man, why is this happening to me? It's because you are doing the work of the Lord. If we are doing the work of the Lord, and I know we can get caught up and we can follow through the Scriptures and we talk about love, we talk about God's love and Jesus' love and brotherly love and love your enemies and love your neighbors and love your spouse. And so we can go forth and we can list those out and we can go through those verses. Bible's about love. Absolutely.
But it doesn't mean because you put the love of God on that people will accept it. People think just because God is love that he ignores sin, he ignores the iniquities. As we talked about this morning, God's love is the sacrifice that he was willing to make for us. God's love allows you to live your life today, to examine your life, to make sure that you have the opportunity to ask. But God's love will not ignore
sin that has not been put away. That has not been washed away by the sacrifice of his son. As it brings out there, rejoice. Again, sometimes there's a few times that we can read about that that tells us to rejoice when we go through various persecutions and trials. And it's not that the trial in itself is fun, that it's easy. And it's not that when people go forth and don't want anything to do with you or reject you because you study the Word of God, because you dress different, because you don't speak the way they do. It's not fun. But know that it is worth it. Know that God take the stand for what is right. And that He will reward you if you continue to follow down that path, if you continue to be strong in the Lord. As we read there in verse 15, make sure that we're not suffering. That we're not suffering due to the evil things that we have done on this earth today. If we are going to go through suffering, let us suffer for doing good. In verse 17, it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Now, if the righteous one scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him who is doing good as to the faithful Creator." Again, as we are Christians, as we follow our Lord and Savior, we suffer because and for Christ. We continue to put Him first in our lives. And as it brings out here, let us remember that it's for doing good. Continue to commit yourself to God. He will strengthen us. He will give us the strength we need to overcome these temptations, to be able to come out on the other side and become stronger as we build our character through these trials and persecutions. Again, if we continue to read throughout chapter 5, we're going to see that it talks about suffering as a Christian as we continue through this. Again, starting in verse 1, it says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and partaker of the glory that will be revealed." Again, right off the bat, makes mention of Christ's suffering. We think about Jesus. We think about Jesus on a cross, suffering. How often that comes to mind when someone thinks about our Lord and Savior. Understand, He suffered, and we're following Him. In verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving overseers, not by compulsion, but not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those who entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." And so again, talks more about how we are going to live our lives upon the earth today, about those who have been willing to take the further step, to step up as elders, as overseers. And again, I believe they go through some extra suffering as people put them on a higher standard and look at them a little closer because they've gained a title. But as we continue as Christians, we continue to read on. In verse 5, it says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Comes the point that Satan is looking to see who he can get. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant," because... And then he kind of signs off there with the last three verses. But as we read those verses there, Satan, the devil, is out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, searching out for your weakness, waiting for that moment of weakness, for when you have stepped aside away from the brothers and sisters of Christ, from when you are going through those hard times and you're questioning, what is my next step? How should I react to what somebody did to me earlier today or earlier this week? He's looking for those moments when you are just doubting a little bit to sit there and pounce and attack. You see, a lion waits and looks at the whole flock. And looks then, he gets his eyes set on which one he's going to attack. He picks it out. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the documentaries or any kind of video of when a lion attacks, but it's usually there's a whole herd, and the herd will run, and he may be close to other ones. Once he's got his eye on one, though, it does not fade away. He stays on that one. So we have to be ready for that. Satan is looking to see how he can cause you to stumble. Who in your life that he might be able to use to cause you to stumble, to make you fall short. Therefore, we must be ready. Verse 9, it brings out there, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Again, as we talk about knowing that we're going through, have to suffer as Christians, we know that we're going to go through hard times. This verse, and pointed out that sometimes it's discouraging. Man, I'm going to have to go wake up tomorrow, and we're going to go through a hard time possibly. I think this verse should be encouraging. Knowing you're not alone in the fight. Knowing you're not alone in the suffer, and the persecutions, and the trials, the temptations that you face. And I'm not saying that necessarily there's somebody in this congregation that goes through the same thing that you go through. There's somebody that is a brother or sister in Christ that is suffering, or that has suffered as you have suffered, has gone through these temptations in one manner or another, and understand how you're going through. And understand we got technology to be able to reach out to brothers and sisters of Christ all over the world. And we can get connected and find other congregations just simply to be able to know there's a congregation in this area of this nation or in this area of another country, and you know, be able to pray for them. Lord, I don't know anything about this congregation, but I see that they're there. Maybe reach out to them if they do have Facebook. Maybe reach out to them if they do have email. Just simply sending a hi and hope that you're doing well, praying for you. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, sin is sin. It does not change from this area to another. Righteousness is righteousness. It does not change from one place to another. So therefore, we're all going through the same thing. We're all going through the same persecutions. And in verse 10, as we read there, it brings out, after you have suffered a while. I'm going to start at the very beginning part of it. It says, but may God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After we have gone through this, what will God do for you? He will establish you. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. So continue to put him first as you go through these trials and temptations. One verse outside of this, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, where it tells us, behold, the devil shall cast him in you in prison, that you may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Again, they are warning us that Satan is seeking to see whom he may devour, whom he may cause to stumble. And it's through this world, through those who have got caught up in his ways, are those who will end up persecuting us. end up one man or another. And so we must remain faithful in order to receive that crown of life. We don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening to any who are here who have not obeyed the gospel. To any who are here that understand that if you haven't obeyed the gospel and you know right from wrong, and yet you have not chosen to do so, that means Satan, in the manner of a roaring lion, has got a hold of you. There's only one way to get Satan off of you. That's going to God. God is the only way that you're going to be delivered. That He is the one that can help us to overcome Satan and the temptations of this world. So if any's here and they need the prayers of the congregation, if any here that desire to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do so this morning, this evening, as we stand and sing.
Things are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are deep at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today, leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Every heartache and tear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near.
Anyone come in that needed to partake of the Lord's Supper? I didn't see you did earlier, so we'll sing number 326, and then we'll have our dismissal prayer. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey.
Thank you.